Welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. Are you looking for practical ministry help to drive your ministry further, faster? Have a sinking feeling that your ministry training didn't prepare you for the real world? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in pursuit of stuff that we wish they had taught in seminary. Buckle up and let's get started with this week's Unseminary Podcast.
Well, hey everybody, welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. I'm Rich Birch, the host around these parts. Today we've got Greg Farah talking about discipleship. It's a fantastic interview. You know, we don't talk a lot about discipleship here at the Unseminary Podcast. What we do talk about are things that often, you know, you just don't learn about in your ministry training. And so today's episode is no exception to that. Greg is talking about discipleship in the real world. It's just packed full of some great insights. So listen on in and join me at the end because I've got a resource I want to share with you.
This is the Unseminary Podcast. Stuff you wish they taught in seminary.
Well, we were in for a real treat today. We've got Greg Farah on the Unseminary Podcast. Greg is a new friend, somebody I've met over the last year or so. And he is a pastor at Shelter Rock Church in Long Island, New York. Now, I hope it's okay that somebody from Long Island is talking to somebody from Jersey. I hope that doesn't cause too many problems today, Greg.
No, we'll be good. We'll be good. We're nice to Jersey people.
Yeah, we're first brothers in Christ, you know, and so we'll be okay.
That's a good reminder. I needed that.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about Shelter Rock? Tell us about your church.
Sure. Yeah, Shelter Rock is actually about 50 years old and started in a community called Manhasset, which is maybe like 20 minutes outside of New York City, so a real commuter village. And about 7-8 years ago, Shelter Rock ran out of space and had the opportunity to connect with a church about a half hour further east from the island. And so we started a second campus that's in Syosset. And so we're a multi-campus church looking to start our third if we can find the right location. And, you know, that's a quick overview. Probably between the two campuses, there are about 1,000 adults that are there each Sunday.
Nice. And what's your role at Shelter Rock?
I'm currently serving as the discipleship pastor, so both from the spiritual growth components, but then also, you know, assimilation-type processes, just helping people connect.
Nice. Well, you know, I know a lot of churches struggle with discipleship. It's the kind of thing that, you know, hey, people might be coming to our church, but, you know, I think if every pastor is being honest, they've sat back either in their office or had that late night kind of lying in bed at night wondering, is anybody actually growing in their relationship with Jesus at our church? And so, you know, have you ever faced that? What's that been like for you guys at Shelter Rock?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a question that we were long asking. And my position is, this is actually the second year I'm serving in this role. I was doing student ministry previously, but my position was created for that reason. You know, we kept asking the question, is anyone growing? And sure, we could point to people who were growing, but there are far too many folks that we felt like they were just coming in, going out, and you know, there was no significant life change. And we weren't offering them a strategy, an opportunity, a way to do that. So my position was created, and you know, here we are.
Now, what were some of the kind of, you know, if you remember around that time, some of the kind of evidences or like things that kind of happened or stuff you noticed as a leadership team that gave you, you know, the kind of evidence to say, hey, we've got to change something here?
I think just complacency, like we felt a real sense of complacency overall. Again, there were certainly wonderful things that were happening, but there were far too many folks that were comfortable. Mm. And then we just looked in the mirror and recognized, hey, we're not doing our job. We're putting together a great service, and we've got all kinds of opportunities for people to do things, but there's no real strategy behind it. There's no real impetus to get people to move, and we're not helping. So we looked in the mirror, and we looked, you know, in the congregation.
Yeah, totally. So what were some of those first, you know, changes you made or some first steps you made, you know, towards being a kind of church that actually helps people take steps towards Jesus?
Well, the first was just, let's, you know, we want to make disciples. So what are we talking about? You know, mm-hmm. You know, we've got a great slogan about connecting people and helping people, you know, love the Lord, but what does that really mean? And so we defined a disciple for us. Again, our mission statement is to lead as many people as possible into a joyful and growing relationship with Jesus. But what does that mean? So we said, okay, a disciple has three traits. It's someone who loves and lives for God. It's someone who cares for and connects with those inside the church. And it's someone who invests in and invites those outside the church. So those three characteristics, we said, there's our bullseye. Now we have something to start with.
Oh, yeah, that's very good. Now, what have you done around each of the, first of all, that's some great language there. I'm sure there's people that are pausing this now. Oh, we'll get it back up and listen to that again. But what have you done on each of those three areas to kind of help encourage discipleship?
Well, I will answer that, but for us taking a next step, it was, all right, you know, what's the strategy
right.
for us to be able to do that? And so we really identified, you know, there's three kinds of faith that people have in that pursuit to love and live for God, care and connect, invest and invite. And we said, okay, there's a private faith where it's you and God. You know, this is where we develop the habits to become more like Jesus. So you and God. Then there was a public faith. We said, you know, this is you and a friend. This is where you commit to a community of believers. And then finally, there's a seeking faith, which is you and a question, where we encourage people to pursue answers to spiritual questions. I think that's one area that we are afraid of as believers and then as a leadership to encourage questions, because we fear, oh no, you know, people might think I'm not spiritual enough, when in reality, we need to ask questions, if whether we're a not yet believer or a new believer or a growing believer, we should always be at a place where we want to know more about God. We want to know more about how to connect others with God. So that being said, you and God, you and a friend, you and a question, three types of faith. And so what we did with the you and God or private faith, we introduced spiritual disciplines. You know, this is what it means to connect with God by yourself, whether you're at home getting up early, you're out taking a jog, you're commuting to and from work. You can connect with God. You can fill that time strategically and constructively. And interrupt me at any point, otherwise.
No, it's good. No, this is good. Keep going.
So the you and a friend, or the public faith, this was the care and connect component, or for us the primary strategy is the is our community groups, we also have like a midweek Bible study. We also have a midweek prayer service, and so we were saying, we want you to connect. We want you to be known outside of the large group. So that was our primary strategy there. And then for the seeking faith, the you and a question, or really the invest and invite, we talked about Alpha. We have Alpha, and that's been a growing ministry for us. Mm-hmm. And then also connecting that back to the spiritual disciplines of, you know, are you investing in relationships with folks outside the church? And we talk about asking what's the next question in that relationship, which is not always are you ready to accept Jesus. next appropriate question is, hey, you want to come have dinner with me and my family? Let's just
right.
So that's a broad brushstroke over those areas.
No, that's very good. Now what have you done on kind of backing up on the spiritual disciplines piece? I think that's a part that I know at our church we've, over the last couple of years, we've kind of been doing these campaigns, these 40-day campaigns to try to help people really take one, spiritual discipline around fasting and they really focus on that. But what have you been doing to try to encourage your people to take steps, closer in their kind of spiritual disciplines?
Yeah, there's a couple. Actually, I guess I'd identify three things. One, at the macro level, in terms of a church-wide movement or such, in January we're actually going to do a year-long read through the Bible campaign. And so that's going to be our Sunday teaching. We'll encourage dialogue on that at community groups, and we'll have a reading and journaling plan, et cetera.
Very cool.
So that'd be that. But then bringing it down, we encourage people to take a class, a spiritual growth class that we call Connect. It's really part of our membership process. We have three C's: celebrate, connect, and contribute. The Connect is the spiritual growth component, kind of the 201 from the baseball diamond model, and really that is just where we say, here is an illustration, which is I basically adapted the Navigator's Ministry wheel.
Okay. Yep.
Christ is the center. The rim is our faith in action. And instead of the four spokes, we have six different spokes of this wheel, and each of these is a habit to develop. And so we talk about each of those and offer resources for each of those to do that. And then the third component would be our community groups that we're regularly talking about. Hey, what are you, besides the curriculum, the content that we're going through here, what's going on in your regular time with God? What are you hearing from God? How do you see God working? If that's a complete void in your life, well, let's be honest and let's pray about that so we can encourage you in that. So those are three ways.
Okay, very cool. Now, just a bit of a sidebar on the community groups piece. I know a lot of churches struggle with actually getting people in to community groups. What's your process, and just kind of in the, at the 20,000 feet level for moving people from Sunday into community groups?
Well, you can add us to your list of those who struggle. But we decided to offer essentially trimesters, basically of the four quarters of the year, we offer community groups three times okay. a year. So not during the summer, but we have a big push in the fall, a big push in the new year, and then a big push right after Easter. And so we decided to do it that way. So we are ringing that bell a number of different times during the year of, hey, this is important, this is a value, and we're, for weeks leading up to it, bringing attention to it, having inserts, here's the variety of different groups that are taking place. In our messages, we encourage our teaching pastors to talk about their community group. Hey, here's something that we talked about, this week, or this question was raised in our community group, that type of thing. But then I'd say the other piece, kind of on the other side of it, is we've just tried to work or do a better job of coaching and encouraging our leaders. Okay. So there's more of a template, so to speak, of what we're looking for in groups. And as we defined a disciple this year, we've defined, hey, these are the traits, the characteristics of a healthy community group leader. And so about quarterly, we'll gather the troops together and review one of those. And so we're trying to improve them from the inside as well.
Right. Nice. Okay. Now, how do you get, obviously you've been making some shifts here in the discipleship side of the equation at Shelter Rock. What have you done to try to kind of get buy-in with the leaders at your church? How's that process going?
Yeah, and for me, I'd say the leaders, there's two levels. There's our staff leaders, and then there's our ministry leaders. And you'd kind of hope that would just be one group, the ministry leaders. But for us, because this is brand new, we're still creating buy-in amongst the staff. And, in theory, everyone says, hey, this is great.
But who's against discipling people?
Exactly. But the reality is, because we haven't done anything strategically, everyone did what was right in his or her own eyes. So they've had their own little system.
That's a great Bible verse.
That's right. So I've been working hard to say, hey, here, we really want to be stacking hands here, speaking the same language. So for me, I've just been encouraging staff-wide. About a month ago, I actually sent out an email to our pastors, quick quiz, who can define what a disciple is at Shelter Act Church? So we had some fun with that. So that's, a kind of a personal thing where I'm beating that drum at staff, and our executive pastor's been really supportive. He brings that up So bit by bit, there's more buy-in. But then amongst the leaders, both ministry leaders and just leaders within the congregation, it's us having the face-to-face conversations. It's us. Well, a good example is with our community group leaders. You know, now all of a sudden I'm saying, hey, these are the characteristics we're going for. These are the specific times during the year when we will meet. And everybody's like, well, what are you talking about? We've always done it this other way.
Right.
And so, what do you mean we have to get together for training? I've been leading 10 years. Jesus was in my community group.
Right.
So those are some frequent and sometimes difficult conversations where I'm just trying to express, the heart. Here's why we're doing this.
Right.
So this is brand new for us. Mm-hmm. Like I said, we're in our second year, and I feel like we're making great progress, but we got a long way to go, too.
Cool. So now, is it working? Give me a sense of your kind of process for reviewing. What does that look like? How do you, how are you kind of tweaking the system as you're working on it?
Yeah, great question. And, for us, a big part of this is, review. How are we doing? And so, again, we're looking at two levels, both as a staff. Overall, are we getting it, not just us around the table, but in the church? Are we beginning to see a culture shift? But then with the group leaders. So starting with the group leaders, again, a brand new thing is we are trying to provide regular or get regular feedback from them. And we request regular feedback, and some are quick to give it, but others, we have to chase them down. But just interacting with them, one good example is I got an email from someone talking about their community group that they decided to take a chance and get involved in one, and how they'd been going to church for years, and in the four sessions, about 1 month that group has been meeting, they've developed more significant relationships in that 1 month than the previous 3 years, and they've been at the church.
Oh, wow.
So that's obviously encouraging. But we just want that multiplied hundreds and hundreds of times. So the review around the table at staff, how are we doing, what are you hearing, what are the sticking points, and then the review, regular feedback with community group leaders and such.
How are you gaining that feedback? Is that like using like an online tool, or is it just in your kind of one-on-one conversations? What does that look like?
Well, in terms of interacting with
the leaders themselves, the ministry themselves,
We are church database. We use CCB, Community Church Builder.
Yep.
And so they have a vehicle where there's an attendance report for groups. And, in that attendance report, they can say, here's what's going great, here's the struggles, etc. So we encourage them to use that. And for those who do, it's quick, it's super helpful, and it's great. But, far too many, you're in Jersey, our part of the country, everyone's a skeptic, and Big Brother's watching over me, and, so there's plenty who aren't using that, and so for those, we just have to personally reach out and interact and chase people down. That's a little slower and a little more frustrating, but that's just part of the process of starting something new. But the goal is that we'd have everyone provide some online feedback and then be able to follow up with a phone call or coffee. But right now, for the bulk of it is a lot of phone calls and coffee.
Yeah, nice. Well, maybe it'll shift, in the coming years. This has been fantastic. I love, as you were talking earlier, I wrote down that love, live, care, connect, invest, invite. I love that. Mm-hmm. That's a great, I think, little rubric there, for people, a great kind of language nugget, in today's podcast. Anything else that, kind of on discipleship, what are you doing at Shelter Rock to help people take steps towards mm-hmm. Jesus?
Two quick thoughts related to those three traits. Really, that was kind of the second step, because I should have mentioned the microscope for us is we actually, if you're familiar with Randy Frazee's Connecting Church, I think is the name of the book. It came out years ago. He's got a list of, I think it's 37 traits of a follower of Jesus. And so we've adapted that. And so that was our microscope. Here's we have 30 traits. Here are the 10 beliefs, the 10 virtues, 10 practices that we want folks in our church to know. But then to simplify it, we said, okay, what's the big picture? Well, it's love and live for God, care and connect, invest and invite. So that was kind of the memorable component that we sought. But we're looking, like for example, I teach a discipleship class that we've started called Essentials. And, you know, in the beginning, we hold up this 30 traits list and say, here's the goal, here's where we're going to go. We're not going to do it all in 12 weeks.
Right.
It's going to be several semesters. But as we go through each lesson, here's what we're focusing on. So each of those traits. The other piece that I'm actually really excited about that we haven't launched yet, in terms of this is something that could be used in a small group or really a one-to-one mentoring, or for us, I'm thinking after Alpha, before the Essentials class, is a curriculum called A Life Worth Exploring, and it's essentially a six-month study on the life of Jesus. 3 months go through the Gospel of John, journaling through it, and then 3 months uses Josh McDowell's More Than a Carpenter book. So just wanted to zero in on who is Jesus.
Right.
So that's a tool that we haven't launched yet, but that I'm excited about using.
This is the Unseminary Podcast, stuff you wish they taught in seminary.
All right, well, we've entered my favorite part of the show, the lightning round. Greg, what is a ministry or an online resource that you've been using these days that, is helping you in your ministry?
You know what I really like? Ministry Briefing. Ministrybriefing.tv is the website, and I can't think of the exact resource that they call. I'm drawing a blank, but it's a weekly update that they provide, giving, hey, here's what's happening in the world, in the church world, in the world, and here are hundreds of links and summaries that of each link that you can use in your teaching, in your preaching, in your leading. So ministrybriefing.tv, it's a great resource.
Yeah, that's put together by Todd Rhodes and Matt Steen. They do a great job. It's a great job for sure. What's a book you've read in the last 6 months that's having an impact on your ministry and why?
Andy Stanley's Deep and Wide has been super, super encouraging, especially through the whole process that we just spent time talking about. Just the reminder that we can be both deep and wide, and just really rethinking how we communicate in the church, helping everything being accessible to people of all spiritual interest levels. So I love that resource.
Nice. Yeah, that's definitely a must read. Yeah, that's a fantastic book. Is there another ministry out there that you're kind of looking to these days and you're kind of inspired by, and why is that?
When I first thought about this, I thought of this church in Utah. It's called South Mountain Community Church. They come to mind because I am so inspired by them. They're, I think, about 2,000 people, multi-congregation, but they're actually the second largest church in the state of Utah.
Wow.
Just because the obvious challenges of doing ministry there. And they're just right outside Salt Lake. And I just love their story. And I just get goosebumps even now just thinking about, these are folks who are pioneers and reaching out in amazing ways. Ministries like drawing a blank again, but
yeah, no, that's great.
But where they deal with alcoholism or any kind of abuse, instead of dealing with alcoholism, that's not an issue in Utah. But they actually have a support group for women coming out of polygamous relationships. It's like,
oh wow,
this is real. It's not just a TV show. So anyway, I've just been inspired by what they're doing.
Huh. That's amazing. If you could get 15 minutes with any leader that's alive today, who would you want to talk to and why?
That's easy for me. Chuck Swindoll. Just love Swindoll, and certainly the depth of his theology, but what I love is the ease of his communication. You know, he takes these eternal truths and just puts them on a plate, and there's just these aha moments, and I just love, he's the master of it, and I love learning from him.
Nice. Very cool. All right. So when you're not out discipling everyone at your church and you're just trying to kick back, what do you do for fun? How do you just relax a little bit?
Yeah, the typical in the terms of like reading and movies, but I'm not a big runner, like distance runner. I've never done a marathon and don't aspire to. But I do love running. And just out here on Long Island, there's a bunch of trails that I can run on, and so it's quiet, it's private, and that's where I can think and pray. So I love doing that, especially this time of year where the leaves are changing and such. It's beautiful.
Wow, nice. Very cool. Well, Greg, I really appreciate you being on the show today. If someone wanted to get in touch with you, how would they do that? They want to learn more about you. And also, you know, you're also an author, right? Tell me a bit about that.
Yeah, thanks. Well, gpfarah.com is my website. GP is Greg Peter. There's another story about how that came about, but gpfarah.com, and I blog on there, at gpfarah is my Twitter account, but yeah, I've got two books. There's a series that I started called the 52 series, 52 ways to grow your faith, and 52 reasons to believe. I'm currently working on 52 reasons to question your faith, and so they're 52 short chapters, 2 to 4 pages each. So again, I wanted a resource that could be accessible to people of all spiritual interest levels. If you're not a believer, a new believer, it's perfect. If you're a growing believer, it's a great discipleship tool or reminder, review for your faith.
Cool. Very cool. Well, thanks so much. Thanks for being on the show, and hope you have a great week.
Thanks, Rich. Bye-bye.
Take care.
This is the Unseminary Podcast, stuff you wish they taught in seminary.
Thankful that Greg agreed to come on the show today. It was a great episode. Thankful for him. You know, in the show notes, there's a bunch of information with links to everything we talked about today. You can see that at unseminary.com. But also, there's also a link to an article I did a while back called 6 Ways to Use Social Media to Encourage Discipleship. And it might be, you know, provide some interesting insights to kind of augment what we talked about today. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Unseminary Podcast. Go into this weekend and help draw them closer to Jesus. Help those people take steps closer in their faith in Christ. So thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next Thursday on the Unseminary Podcast.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's Unseminary Podcast. Don't be shy. We'd love to connect. Check out Unseminary Inbox. You can sign up at unseminary.com, and we'll send you helpful training resources every week. Plus, you'll gain immediate access to our exclusive members area with tons of resources you can use. Connect with Rich on Twitter at Rich Birch or through email, rich@unseminary.com. Don't forget to check out the show notes for this episode at unseminary.com. It includes links to what we talked about today and more. Leave a comment. We'd love to hear from you. Did you enjoy today's episode? Drop by iTunes and leave a review. Thanks again for tuning in to this week's Unseminary Podcast. Join us next week when we'll learn more stuff we wish they taught in seminary.